Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24, section Gimel, handling potent verbal attacks. Potent verbal attacks can have dire consequences, but such attacks are commonplace in today's world. Former President Trump and his supporters face them. Ahead of the second assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump, many influential actors, journalists, and influencers warned that Trump is an existential threat to democracy, compared him to Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler, and suggested he or his supporters should face violent attacks. Gregory T. Angelo, president of nonprofit watchdog New Tolerance Campaign, told the Daily Signal that the rhetoric surrounding and opposing President Trump's campaign involves insisting that his re-election would lead to the collapse of the country and calls for the former president's death. Potent verbal attacks by the establishment media recently occurred against conservative Supreme Court justices. On September 19, news broke that a man had been arrested after allegedly threatening to kill six Supreme Court justices. The indictment left the justices unnamed, though the court is dominated by a six-member conservative majority, the New York Times noted, adding later in its report that two members of the court, Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Samuel A. Alito, Jr., were featured prominently in the news when some of the messages were sent. As an editorial in the Republican American noted July 31st, those news stories were based on controversies peddled by Democrats and elevated by the media. They've served as a pretense for attacks on the Supreme Court's independence and legitimacy, attacks that are only being launched because the court's ideological composition frustrates the political left. Recently, parents who oppose deviant, sexually explicit books to which their children are exposed in public libraries and schools indirectly faced potent verbal attacks. September 22 to 28 is what librarians and leftists throughout the country called Banned Books Week, what is misnamed because in the United States no books are actually forbidden by the government. The promoters would have the public believe that the choices made by librarians and school administrators are always right, and that anyone who questions these choices is a follower of Hitler or worse, Donald Trump. Pope Francis recently made a potent verbal attack against the Christian faith by saying Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Christian are alleged different paths to God. But Jesus in John 14:6 in the King James Version said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Consequently, Protestant and Roman Catholic clergymen have both voiced strong objection to the pontiff's statement. It occurs locally. Believers often report that they witness or face potent verbal attacks, and at times these attacks are as confusing as they are upsetting. For like many political attacks today, they don't critique an actual sin. And that's always something that should cause questions to rise. So we ask in the needs section, how does God want us to handle potent verbal attacks? The solution is given in the section of Scripture that we have this morning. I'd like to read about it. Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger or a foreigner in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh or is crushed for the longing that it has unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also have sat and spoken against me or slandered me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The psalmist, in Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24, this is section Gimel, where the first letter of each word, each verse starts with the Hebrew letter Gimel, was highly motivated to use Scripture as his physical, mental, and emotional lifeline due to a significant trial that he was facing. He asked God to grant him life that he might keep his word, for he figuratively felt like a vulnerable sojourner that's the Hebrew word ger, who lacked some rights as an outsider in a challenging and a social environment. Incidentally, that often happens when a person has come under an extensive verbal attack. He feels like an outsider, and he feels vulnerable. He feels like a foreigner. His whole physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual being, that's what the Hebrew word nefesh means, was crushed with longing for God's justice, God's mishpat. And that at all times. This is typical of a person who faces a severe verbal attack. He's crushed with longing for God's justice all the time. Sometimes it's difficult even to sleep at night if you face this type of a challenge. This trial involved princes, Sarim, who had sat, Yashab means to sit in council, to take counsel to slander him. This isn't a slander just by someone who's at the low level of society. These are princes, these are rulers who are influential, who have sat to slander this man. And slander in the ancient Near East often resulted in undermining a person's character to the point that he was actually put to death. So slander is something that is almost, it actually borders on attempted murder. However, Scripture fully equipped the psalmist to overcome this threatening trial. In verse 18, the psalmist, relying on the Lord to open his eyes to see applicable truths in God's word, he beheld wondrous things out of the Scriptures that directed him in handling the trial that he faced. And this is really important. When we focus on the Word of God does give us insight as to how we're supposed to handle the particular trial that we're facing. So Scripture delighted the psalmist by its supply of such timely and adequate insight. And when we get into the conclusion section, we're going to demonstrate how this actually works in a given situation. Indeed, Scripture became the psalmist's counselors that overcame the counsel of his enemies. And that's very, very true. Scripture is authored by God. God moved holy men of God along as they wrote Scripture. So the author of Scripture is the ultimate counselor. And who better to have a counselor to offset strong counsels from an enemy than God himself? Thus the psalmist asked God to take away, galah, or to roll away, the scorn and the contempt that his influential foes spoke against him, for he applied God's word in his life. I personally feel that the takeaway is often used as galah, means to roll away. I like to picture that the slander and the scorn is rolling off your back like a water rolling off a duck's back, as the figure of speech goes. Finally, God, the author of Scripture, rebuked and punished the psalmist's wicked enemies in verse 21. So the lesson is potent verbal attacks are overcome by realizing our great need for God's correct view on our situation as revealed in his word, that we then immerse our minds in Scripture for its wondrous insights and thus apply them to our trial for our own nurture and protection and God's handling of our verbal attackers. You'll notice as we go through Psalm 119, everything in Psalm 119 is dealing with the value of Scripture and how it applies to so many trials and challenges that we face in life. And sometimes it deals, and we're going to find out next week, it deals with counseling needs. There's nothing like the Word of God to counsel and give advice. All sorts of challenges that we face in life are answered through the proper use of the Word of God. But to apply the Word of God, we have to be in proper relationship with the Lord. You'll notice section 1 that we have in the application. It says, may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I bring this up every week because it's very important for people to come to know Christ that they might escape hell and gain heaven. That's true. But if we're going to function in relationship to God and receive the blessings of God, we have to be related to God. And if a person has not believed in Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, he hasn't been born into the family of God. You have to be related to God first. So this is an essential step that we have to take, not only to have eternal life, but in order to apply and see God apply the Scriptures that we're going to talk about in the conclusion section. And the number 2, to handle potent verbal attacks, May we acknowledge our great need for God's true insight on our trial, so as to immerse our minds in Scripture for its edifying insight, so that we apply Scripture for God's protection and blessing. Let me just give a word of advice here. A lot of times, people may not be aware of what passage or what verse in the Scriptures addresses a specific attack that they've had. So what you want to do is to get some advice from a Christian who knows the Word of God. And I always open it up, but, you know, call me at any time. I'm in the office 9 to 2 at least, starting at 9 in the morning to 2 in the afternoons, Tuesdays through Fridays. Or contact me at home or fire me an email. The email address is in the bulletin. Or there may be other Christians in the church that you know that you can confide in. Get the information, because sometimes other Christians might have access to a passage of Scripture that we're not aware of. Now, in the conclusion section, to illustrate the message and or provide additional guidance on the issues that we had in our introduction, Scripture provides us edifying insight and direction on the issues of concern that we mentioned in our introduction. Number one, on the charges many influential actors, journalists, and influencers make that Mr. Trump is an existential threat to democracy, like Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler, and the suggestion that Mr. Trump and his supporters should face violence. Romans 13, 1-5 teaches that threats to a nation's law and order should be handled by the authorities, not by lawless acts of violence by the general public. The media is doing a tremendous disservice by just leaving this open-ended, and people in the Hollywood and so forth are leaping this open-ended. If there is a problem with Mr. Trump, it should be handled through the courts, if indeed that is the situation. Also, former President Trump was not a threat to democracy in his first term, as he has not been lawfully convicted and sent to prison by the government for opposing democracy. If they could have, they would have convicted him. They would have put him in jail by now, that's for sure. So journalists, actors, and influencers who call for violence against Mr. Trump and his followers are sinning against God. I have to be very careful as a pastor. I can't tell you who to vote for, okay? But I can tell you what the Word of God says in regards to various issues on platforms. And I know from that standpoint people can make their proper votes. Number two, on the potent verbal attacks against conservative Supreme Court justices that have led some troubled people to threaten to assassinate some of them, Romans 13:1-5, once again, directs that government authorities are to keep law and order in the nation. And 1 Peter 2:13 directs us to heed government laws. Since the United States Constitution, by which our nation is to be ruled, allows for the removal of a Supreme Court justice from office by impeachment by Congress, not by assassination, journalists who incite people to assassinate justices are sinning against God. That's all there is to it. I personally don't see anything that any Supreme Court justice has done that violates the laws of the United States Constitution. I don't agree with the ideology of some of the Supreme Court justices, where I agree with the ideology of others. But, they're certainly, no one's supposed to solve this problem by assassinating justices. They need to be impeached if they deserve to be impeached. Number three, on the indirect, potent verbal attacks by librarians, school administrators, and leftists against concerned parents over deviant, sexually explicit books to which their children are exposed in public libraries and schools, the Bible at Ephesians chapter 6, 1-4, holds parents accountable to God for the rearing of their children. No librarian, no school administrator, no leftist, and may I add, no pastor, okay, can rightfully counter a parent's biblical directives for his child. So parents should not be intimidated by any entity that tries to usurp their authority over their children when they uphold biblical morals. From the very beginning of my taking the pastorate here at Nepog Church, we used to have a Christian school here at the time. I've always felt if you want to use a Christian school for your children, fine. If you want to use homeschooling for your children, that's your prerogative as a parent. Fine. If you choose to use the local public schools where you're at, that's fine. At one time, we had a family in our church that was had so many children. They had some children in the public school, some in the homeschool, and some in the Christian school. And I sanctioned that. That they thought because of the circumstances, the children involved, the particular schools involved, that's how they wanted to share it. Hey, that's a parent's sovereign decision. And we need to support that because it's the parents who are going to give an account to God for the rearing of their children. Pope Francis's statement that Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, and Christian people are all taking different paths that lead to God, in contrast to Jesus' John 14:6 statement that he alone is the way to God. John 17:2 in the English Standard Version cites Jesus as saying in his great high priestly prayer to God the Father, quote, "You have given him," that's Jesus, "authority over all flesh." In Matthew 28, verses 18, in the English Standard Version, Jesus is recorded as saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." And in Colossians 2, verse 10, in the English Standard Version, the Apostle Paul wrote about Jesus Christ, noting, "You have been fulfilled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." Think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ is over everything in the government, in every government in this country. He's over every single person here. He's over every institution of human beings. He's over everything. He's over Satan. He's over the demons. So Jesus' claim that he is the only way to God is the authoritative truth, where Pope Francis's statement that the Sikh, Muslim, Hindu paths, though differing from Christianity, also lead to God, is an error. For God wants us to side with Jesus' words over Pope Francis's words when they differ. And that's what we do. On the reports we receive from believers about potent verbal attacks they witness or face at the local level that are confusing or upsetting, since the criticism does not actually expose wrong in the recipient, the recipient of the criticism should test the entire situation with the fruit of the Spirit test. I refer to this in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit that are produced in a believer when he comes to know the Lord and when he's relying on the Lord. If the criticism aligns in view and its effects with God's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, it's of the Lord. But if the critique clearly lacks the production of any one of these marks of the Holy Spirit, it's not of God. For example, the critique that is upsetting and confusing lacks the production of peace, joy, kindness, and gentleness, so we know it's not of the Lord. For further insight and protection, we can watch for repeat patterns of behavior in the one who gives the criticism. If the critic repeatedly speaks words that fail to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, he's not speaking by God's leading, and he is what is known as carnal. That means he's operating by his sin nature. Galatians 5:19 to 21. However, if the one who makes the critique produces the Spirit's fruit by his words and life so as to how it affects the hearer, that person's led of God. Some of the most beneficial criticisms I know I've received in my life have been from godly people because the way they come about it, they're very gracious about it. They're very kind, they're very sensitive, and they bring it up, and I know they're bringing it up because they know it's going to help me. And I very much appreciate that kind of approach. And it's always full of wisdom. On the other hand, if someone's just coming at you with both barrels blazing, and it's not edifying, they might be saying something that is true or partly true, but the way they're going about it, they're not following the Lord's leading at all. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life, and may we then handle potent verbal attacks by acknowledging our great need for the Scripture input, and thus immerse our minds in its content for edifying insight to apply for God's protection and blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the direction that your word provides us on handling sensitive issues, and especially issues where we have faced or have experienced potent verbal attacks. It's not an easy situation to face, but it's one that we need to know how to handle. And we thank you, Father, for your word that equips us so effectively to handle the issues that we face in this life. We'd ask, Father, that we would continue to immerse our minds and hearts in your word so that we can get to know it. And if we do face a trial where we're not aware in Scripture where to go, we'd ask that we would go ahead and get that opinion from a counselor or several counselors who are godly Christians so that we might fill in the gaps as to our Bible knowledge so that we can be edified by our Lord. We ask again, Father, that if there may be anyone in our group this morning who as yet has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, or who may be listening on the MP3 who needs Christ, that before the day is out, they would make the decision to believe in Him, that they might have eternal life and a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.